the story of Michal, the younger daughter of King Saul, is interwoven with the life of David. In total, there are only 5 snapshots of Michal's life included in the scripture, 5 events, 5 episodes, which paint a very clear portrait of this woman's life and of her character, and they tell us a very striking message. The first appearance of this woman is here in this chapter, when she is seen, or where she appears, as in her love for David, and in being given to him in marriage. Verse 20, we're told, and Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And in verse 28, Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and he saw that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him. He saw this. And this young girl, the younger daughter of King Saul, first appears as one who is in love with the Lord's anointed. And she's given to David to be his wife. Now, her father did not give her out of good intention, as we have read. Saul gave his daughter to David with the motive that she would become his downfall. He had no dowry to give to Saul, and so Saul thought, if I can send him among the Philistines, then the Philistines will kill him, and this way I will get rid of David. But that did not happen. And we find that the two are brought together in marriage. So she appears first in her love for David and in her marriage to him. Then the second reference is in the next chapter, chapter 19. And here we find the wrath of Saul intensifying. His plan had failed. He had become increasingly frustrated with David. His envy had increased, and he sought to kill David. And Michal knew this, and so she warned her husband. Look at verse 10. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with a javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence. And he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers onto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. She recognized the danger that he was in. And she warned him, and she told him to flee and to escape the wrath of her father. So here you see her being dutiful, you see her courage, you see her devotion to her husband. Verse 12, so Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image, and laid it in the bed, and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, he is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed, that I may slay him. And when the messengers were come in, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul, he said unto me, let me go, why should I kill thee? Now, you can see there a flaw in her character, because she's telling lies in order to try and protect David. And that reveals a weakness of faith in the protection of God. She did not need to do those things. She could simply have trusted the Lord, and the Lord would have undertaken. But we can see here her desire to protect her husband. We can see her duty to her husband, her allegiance to her husband. Her love is shining forth for David. But then the third picture is found in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 25, David has had to flee. He's being pursued by Saul. He's hiding in the wilderness. And during that time, we discover in verse 44 of the chapter, the last verse of the chapter, we discover that during that time, Saul, in his spite towards David, had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. And so he's giving now this young girl who was in love with David, who had married David, he's giving her to another man. During this time of David's persecution and the time in which he has had to flee. But then, when you turn into 2 Samuel chapter 3, the circumstances have greatly changed, for now Saul is dead, having been slain on the battlefield. And the kingdom has been given to David. David is increasing in strength, and his kingdom is increasing. And the only remaining son of Saul, Ish-bosheth, has saw the need to make a league with David. He wants peace between the two houses. And David agrees to that peace on the one condition that Michal is returned to him. Look at the verse 13. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. And Ish-bosheth sent and took her from her husband, even from Phaltiel, the son of Laish. Verse 15, that is. And her husband went with her along, weeping behind her to Bahurim. Then said Abner unto him, go return. And he returned. So here, after this long period, after this long period of many years wandering, of fleeing in the wilderness, David's now in these circumstances. The kingdom has been delivered to him, as the Lord said. And he demands the return of his wife, Michal, and she is brought back after those many years absent from him. And then you come to the last mention, which you find in chapter 6. Of 2 Samuel. And the last mention brings us to the scene of the bringing up of the ark to the city of David. Remember, this had been David's desire for a long time when he saw the ark and he saw the tabernacle in a state of neglect. Remember how the Philistines had captured the ark and then it had been returned to the house of Obed-Edom in Kirjath-Jearim. And he saw this neglect, and he had the desire to bring the ark up to Jerusalem, that it would be established, that the worship of God would be established at the very heart of the kingdom, that the Lord would be glorified. And the Lord and David brought up the ark, and he did so with great rejoicing. See that in verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Verse 20. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord, which chose me before thy father and before all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be based in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honour. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. Five pictures, five portraits. And when you piece them all together, they reveal a very striking story, a very striking message. It's the story of a woman who began well, but who did not end well. A woman who began well, but did not end well. She began as a beautiful, dutiful, courageous young woman, but she ended up resentful. She ended up disillusioned. She ended up in a spirit of impoverishment, in a spirit of bitterness. She ended up not only barren of children, but she ended up barren in her spirit and in her heart. It's a sobering story. And yet it's a story that leads us to ask the reason why she ended in this way. She began well, but she did not end well. And when you take the five pictures that are given and you piece them together, you'll find the reason why she did not end well. In the first place, I think we can see very clearly that she lost sight of the will of God. At first, Michal is seen as a loving and dutiful wife. We've read of how, when her father sought after David, sought to kill him, that she warned David and she told him to flee. You can see she's quick thinking there. She has a degree of discernment. She knows what her father's going to do. And she says to David, David, if you don't escape this night, then you'll be slain by the morning. You've got to go. And you can see her love, you can see her affection, you can see her devotion to David, her husband, and yet at the end, the last reference, the last appearance of Michal is one in which she is found despising her husband. She despised him in her heart. And that indicates that during those intervening years, about 14 years have passed from the time that she was married to this time when the ark was brought up, that during those intervening years, along the way, Michal lost sight of the purpose and the will of God for her life. And we will never end well. We will never finish our course with joy and with honor and with commendation if we lose sight of the will of God. What was God's will for Michal? God's will had been given in Genesis chapter 2 when the Lord created Eve and he brought her on to Adam. And we're told there how he did so that she would be an help. Meat for Adam. Genesis 2 and verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meat or suitable for him. And the rest of the chapter tells us how the Lord made woman, how he took the bone from Adam's side and how he made woman and he brought her onto the man. And he gave her unto Adam, verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. God's purpose for the wife was that she would be a help to her husband. That she would be there to help him and to assist him. Not to hinder him, but to help him. That was God's purpose and God's will. And that will, of course, was later expounded by Solomon in Proverbs 31 when he said of the virtuous woman, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. That's the will of God for the wife. The purpose of the woman and the purpose of the wife was that she would be a help and an assistance to her husband, especially in the things of God. And yet here we find this woman who began well, who's seen in her love for her husband, who's seen protecting him from harm. At the very end of it, she's despising him when he's seeking to advance the glory of God. David was seeking to advance the glory of God. And she despised him and she became a hindrance to him. And what that reveals is that she lost sight of God's will and God's purpose for her life and for her heart. And we will never end well if we lose sight of what God's will is for us. We've got to keep in mind always what the will of God is. But then there's another reason I think that we can add to this. Why she did not end well why she ended up with the resentful and the bitter spirit. And it was because she became a slave to her circumstances. There's no doubt as we read the story of Michal that the poverty of her spirit and her resentment were due to the circumstances of her life. There's no doubt about that. I think you cannot read the story of this woman without feeling pity for her. Because this woman faced tremendous difficulties, tremendous adversities. She faced that within her family. You think of how Saul had arranged her marriage to David. And yet the very man that she loved and the very man that she was married to was the man who her father hated and wanted killed. And she had to put up with that. And that hatred forced her husband into exile. She lost the presence, she lost the company, she lost the enjoyment of her husband's company because of the hatred of her father towards David. And David had to flee, and then her father took him and gave her to another man in David's absence. This woman has faced tremendous difficulties. Real hardships. Real troubles. And then when she was eventually restored to her first husband, to David, she had to be placed alongside David's other wives, for David had taken two other wives at that stage. And you can see all these things, all these circumstances, these adverse circumstances. She witnessed the downfall of her father, his death, and the death of her brother Jonathan, and the downfall of his kingdom. All these things, all these circumstances, they were sore troubles, they were deep afflictions for this young girl. But her problem became much worse when she allowed herself to become a slave to her circumstances. She grew bitter, she grew resentful because of her circumstances in life. That's why we find her in 2 Samuel chapter 6 acting the way she does, despising David in her heart and ending up barren. She's brought to that condition because she allowed herself to become a slave to her circumstances. You know, this is a great danger. And I believe that Michal is placed into the scripture, interwoven with the life of David, to be a warning. To be a warning to us. That we can become a slave to our circumstances. We can allow our circumstances to control us. And the result is that in response to the adverse circumstances of life, that we can become bitter, we can become resentful. And it really destroys our life. It destroys the relationships in our life. And it brings us into an impoverished state. The only remedy, I believe, the only prevention for that is a strong belief in the doctrine of God's providence. The doctrine of God's overruling wisdom and God's love in all the circumstances of life. Remember what Job said? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And even in the midst of all these things, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job struggled with this. Job faced this himself. There were times when he sank beneath the waves. When he lost sight of God. When he felt that bitter sting in his heart because of his circumstances. But what brought him through? What delivered him from it? What delivered him from ending up as a bitter, resentful old man? Was the fact that he recognized that at last God's hand was in all his circumstances, overruling by his wisdom and by his love. And it's only when we grasp continually what Paul said in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. It's only when we grasp that the all things are in the purpose of God and in the wisdom of God and in the love of God. It's only when we see God above the circumstances that we will not become a slave to our circumstances in life. And this woman, she ended up in the condition that she did because she lost sight of the will of God for her life. And she became a slave to her circumstances, losing sight of God's overruling wisdom and God's sovereign control over all things. But finally, the third, and we'd have to say the greatest cause of her resentment and her bitterness, is given to us in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And we find it there in reference to her heart in verse 16. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in the heart. And the reference, the emphasis upon her heart, sets before us the ultimate and the greatest reason why she did not end well. You see, this was the root of the problem. She had neglected her heart relationship with the Lord. And consequently, the root of resentment began to grow in the soil of a neglected heart. And because her heart relationship with the Lord was neglected, it destroyed every other relationship in life. It destroyed her relationship with her husband David. You see, the telltale signs of this neglect had been seen long before this, away back 14 years, whenever she was trying to hide David from the wrath of her father. Did you notice what she used to try and give the impression that David was sleeping in bed? She used an image. 1 Samuel 19 and verse 13, Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. An image. The word here is teraphim. And that's the word that's used a number of times in the Old Testament in relation to idols. To idols. Remember Jacob, when he was coming from Laban's house, Rachel brought her father's images and she hid them, she sat on them, so that he would not find them. That's the same word. And these images were idols. And idols were things forbidden by God. In the commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And here she has this image in her house, something that's contrary to the Lord, something that is forbidden by the Lord. An idol, remember, was something that sought to come between the heart and God. That's what it signified. This idol signified the setting of something between the heart and God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me or between us. God must be first. His will must be supreme. His word must govern us. But here you see this little telltale sign that she has allowed something to come into her life that had been forbidden by the Lord. And because that idol had not been dealt with, in the process of time, that neglect became more pronounced and it became more noticeable until we find her on this occasion, when all of Israel are rejoicing in the Lord and seeking to advance the glory of God, and Michal, instead of being part of it, instead of being among the multitudes of Israel, bringing up the ark to Jerusalem, She's looking on, despising and resenting her husband. And it's simply a manifestation of the neglect of her heart that had taken place over many years. Backsliding is a very real danger. But here we learn in the life of Michal that it doesn't happen overnight. It's the result of years of heart neglect. Neglecting the Lord. Allowing things to come between us and God. And they may be very little things to begin with, but as the process of time passes, that coldness of heart increases until it's manifested in a similar way as it was manifested in the case of Michal. She despised David and his zeal for the Lord. And she revealed herself as one whose heart was far from the Lord. How necessary it is to ever keep in mind what Solomon said in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This woman began well, but she did not end well. And the reason was she lost sight of God's will for her. And she became a slave to her circumstances. But ultimately, she neglected her heart relationship with the Lord. She neglected her heart relationship with the Lord. It is a solemn, sad story. And there are many things that are negative, but the one thing that's positive is this. Let us guard our heart. The most important thing that we have is our relationship with the Lord. Our heart relationship with the Lord. That's the most important thing in our life as Christians. And therefore, we've got to tend to that. We've got to guard it. We've got to keep it with all diligence. For that's the only way that we can end well. It's the only way that we can end with the well done of God, if our heart is right with the Lord. And that alone will keep us from that spirit of resentment and bitterness. Michal was not only resentful of her husband, she was really showing that she was resentful of the Lord. She was resentful of the Lord. All the things that had happened had made her hard and bitter and resentful. Instead of seeking to come before the Lord and ask for grace, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And even though our circumstances in life may be difficult and we may face many things that we don't understand and many trials, many hardships, yet the grace of God is sufficient for us. Not only to bring us through those circumstances, but to prevent us becoming a slave to them. And it's only as we maintain our walk with the Lord and our heart relationship with Him that we will avoid that snare of resentment and that snare of bitterness. How many have ended up in that snare? They began well, but they did not end well. We've got to keep this in mind as it's set before us in the life of this woman who was the first wife of King David.